Hello, and welcome to The Talkies, a weekly film podcast with me, Michael Henry.
And me, Lucy Smith.
This week, we'll be discussing entertainment.
This is a really weird one this week, because I think we've got different views, as our picks will show, of what entertainment is.
Well, it's not just what entertainment is, but also whether it's good or not. I think it's going to be interesting to get into. One thing I want to start with is, why do you think entertainment's more and more what people go for when they pick a film?
Why do you think more and more is my first non-answer to that? Hasn't it always been about entertainment?
I don't think so. I think if you look at what films were popular in, say, the 60s and the 70s, and especially silent films, it wasn't just entertainment. I think there's obviously a magical element with like the early Nickelodeons and stuff like that, but you look at what was high in the box office in the 70s, for instance, films like Midnight Cowboy, it's not entertainment. It's a pretty dark drama. Well, I mean, it's comedy in there, but it's... You look through, and I'd say from the 80s onwards, it's all about how they're marketed, but really, as a culture, we've become obsessed with entertainment. I think it's why everyone's on their phones all the time. It's why...
By entertainment, do you mean, like, distraction and thrill, then? Is that your definition?
Escapism, okay. Essentially. Hmm. Something you don't have to think about. I want you to answer the question. I know you're doing a great job at not answering the question. So why
I
do you think it's...
If films made back then were less entertaining in speech marks, quote marks, whatever, because it was only the people at the top who could make them, and like you got these, I don't know, I just picture like the offices of these film people and it'd be like cigars and like going, oh, yes, I don't know.
I don't think that would explain why there was less pure entertainment that was just easy watching rather than... Because, you know, there was great drama. There's still great dramas in the 80s and the 90s, but I think, especially this century, everything is all about don't take any risks, make sure everyone feels happy, cut out all the swearing, anything that will offend or make people feel uncomfortable to reach the largest audience. And then in doing that, it's about you make a film where no one thinks about anything.
Maybe the internet has changed the audience.
Well, definitely, so... in terms of attention, that's true, but... So, okay.
Answering it. Hold up. So the internet has changed the audience, and therefore they need more stuff. And also, it's less like, oh, I'll produce some art for a gallery. Oh, I'll produce some film for a cinema. It's more like these people just want to watch something randomly while they're eating their dinner on their telly. Let's make films for that. I think there's something tied into internet there.
Well, yeah, in terms of money, like I think the money element's a big part as well, that the internet's made it more about attention, but also there's no money in making something that's art, basically, just in general. You know, if you're a musician, you aren't really going to make any money. If you're a any kind of artist, you probably aren't going to make any money.
But you're in it for the love of it, if you're doing it for no money,
Yeah, you have to be in it for... But of course.
So therefore, less into... Well, still maybe entertainment, but also art and something to get from it. Whereas if it's just about the money, you don't give a shit about that stuff anymore, maybe.
Yeah, if it's just about the money, it's almost like you can't make something that means something. I don't think any... It can happen, but I think generally the emphasis is always on making sure people are smiling, shocked, or constantly distracted, which...
Was that smiling shocked as a phrase together, or smiling, comma, shocked?
Comma, like... yeah, comma.
Okay.
Smiling shocked.
I thought, what is smiling shocked?
Yeah, I've just made up a word called smiling shocked. It sounds like Schadenfreude. You're happy to be scared.
Did that answer the question?
I think so. I mean, we've broached on it. I think it might be worth moving on to a pick purely because this could just turn into a rant about society, which it will at some point, but I don't know if it's the best way in for the episode.
Do you want to start with your pick?
I'd love to, yeah. So I picked the 36th Chamber of Shaolin. I'm not going to do a synopsis this week because I kind of want to just get to how you felt about it, because I don't know how many martial arts films you watch, but for me, because we're talking about entertainment or what you watch that's easy viewing to escape, essentially, this is my go-to, not just this film, but martial arts films in general. They're my go-to comfort food. if I have a bad day and I put a film like Drunken Master or Ong Bak on, I instantly feel better. I couldn't even necessarily explain why, although I'll try later, obviously. But what was your experience?
I think I might be able to explain why as well.
Go for it. Why do you think I like these films?
Well, I think I was asking myself, why is this entertaining? And I think it's because, this film basically, a lot of it is him working his way up the levels of the chambers of Kung Fu. And it's like a big video game. It's really satisfying. He's got a goal and you watch him achieve it in a very like physical, clever, Kung Fu-y way.
Yeah.
Stuff like, okay, I was rolling around laughing. Number one, he's so oily. It's hilarious. Number two, there's shit like he's trying to balance on a log and some guy's giving him a bowl of food and he's like, eat.
Yep.
And the food just goes all over his face. It's hilarious.
Well, that's the thing one thing I would say that martial arts films do really well is they're the kind of one of the few genres that have managed to maintain slapstick without it being terrible. Most slapstick these days is like Johnny English or something that's really crass and like doesn't have any purpose. But the origins of slapstick were very much like circus or theatre, and it was about making people laugh, but there's a jeopardy to the actions of these characters, whereas you don't get that with most modern films that try it, or you just kind of look down on it because it's crude. But in martial arts films, the movements of the people are kind of what makes it comic. That
it's so camp.
Yeah, it's camp. Great. It's amazing for it.
I do think though, like when he's on that log with the food, is it meant to be as funny as it is? Because part of why I was laughing was like, okay, that's interesting.
Well, in my opinion anyway, I mean, if you watch something like a Jackie Chan film, it's definitely for comedy. There's bits where someone will be trying to keep their tea in their cup whilst having a fight. Like, that's clearly not meant to be serious.
And
especially in something like Drunken Master, which is, it's a character. So, obviously, there's different fighting styles, but his fighting style is to get really drunk or move like a drunk person. And so a lot of his fighting technique is to move out of the way of people almost as if his body's out of control and no one knows how to fight him because it's such an unnatural... Yeah, it's an unnatural way to move. Don't have to answer that. But yeah,
I get why. So it wasn't quite my film. I have watched... I do enjoy, like, films like Hero, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, stuff like that. But, stuff like this, I would watch it on a rainy Sunday afternoon whilst doing something else. But, I did find myself zoning out occasionally. However,
I think that's kind of what I want to get at, particularly this week, is that, you know, you said like a rainy Sunday or that, which sounds like something you would watch if it's a day where you don't want to focus on anything and you want to be entertained, which is kind of the point of this episode.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that you felt like you zoned out, because how I feel about most films that are geared as just entertainment, kind of like your pick, which we'll get to, and I apologise for saying that. And also basically a lot of superhero films and anything that's just typical like buddy comedy, you put a kid with a wrestler, for instance, that kind of thing, I feel really detached, and I actually find them really depressing. Like, it just depresses me how many people watch a film like Love Actually, and yet people who worked like that's so much more harder on trying to say something or make something new get dismissed. I find that depressing, to be honest.
I understand you, but I will be defending rom-coms later.
And I said before we'll move on to your pick now. We may as well. We'll just make this a whole, like a tennis match of my film versus yours. But I went in watching yours trying not to be too judgmental or too critical.
I knew you'd hate it.
Well, hate's...
the right word.
Hate's not the right word. So the way you felt watching a documentary that I recommended is how I felt watching this. And I'm not lying when I said I felt physically sick watching your pick. So do you want to introduce your pick?
Never Been Kissed, starring Drew Barrymore. This is a film that I've watched again and again since I was like maybe seven, which was a very interesting conversation. I'll touch on it a bit, but no need to go into it. But yeah, how how films like that, when you watch from such a young age, can sort of like affect your life or like the way act. It's essentially, I actually found a little nugget of what my entertainment might be in terms of plot, because in both your film and my film, they go from zero to hero. I didn't plan that sentence. That was really strange. I got that from somewhere. Anyway, yeah, they go from... So Drew Barrymore goes from being a loser, quote unquote, and your man in your film. I'm so sorry. I did not That's pay fine. Attention to names.
It's fun. It's funnier because you're fumbling. I'm enjoying it. It's entertaining. Carry on.
Yeah, your man started with no kung fu and then became a master. And Drew Barrymore starts from loser and becomes this sort
of... So do you think... Sorry, go on.
She works her way up the ranks of a high school, basically. The plot is that she is an undercover reporter trying to get a story about teenagers today. That's basically it.
Yeah, and it becomes a romance and, yeah, and she deals with the thing she didn't deal with when she was at high school. So I guess what you've broached on there is both of our films have a feel-good quality. Do you think feel-good is basically the thing that sold, or the thing that makes something entertaining? That you know, you don't watch something that's entertaining and by the end you're like, oh, I feel terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, I do, but...
Yeah, feel good maybe, but also I feel like sometimes when I watch superhero films, I don't often enjoy them. They're not quite my thing. But when I do, I also watch just to see someone be really cool, like physically, like X-Men, watch someone do crazy shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Or your film, watch him do crazy kung fu.
Well, I was
going to
say...
Cool.
That's why I like watching martial arts films is, I mean, there are some that aren't just pure entertainment, like Enter the Dragon with Bruce Lee and stuff. And the one thing I would say for martial arts films, no matter how like slapstick or silly they can be, there tends to be a philosophy behind it that, you know, I picked 36th Chamber of Shaolin because I knew it wouldn't be the most thought-provoking Matrix-like philosophizing thing. But... Yeah, they do tend to have a reason for why they're doing these things. And the reason I'm drawn to them is because you get to watch, you know, the difference with a superhero film where it's all CGI and just effects and this, these are people actually doing these things. If you watch any Jackie Chan film, the way he moves, the way he jumps through a window is so unnatural. It's like ballet. He moves his body in such a way that you basically couldn't see anywhere else, and that's what I like about it, you kind of see the peaks of, as you would with like a dance film or stage
so much skill, yeah.
Version. It's just, how did you do that? And that's what I love about, especially the earlier martial arts films compared to today, where there's a lot of like zip wires and you know, CGI in post. These were people just actually jumping off trains and jumping through hoops and, you know, doing these weird movements. So we'll get back to your pick. So, why do you enjoy this is probably my first question.
That is, I think I told you, I'm immune
too tough
to
of
its
a question?
Effects now. I understand why you found the student-teacher relationship creepy. I also...
Well, I mean, that's not what my biggest problem was, okay. But we'll get into that.
What was your biggest problem?
It actually made me feel sick.
Why?
I'm trying to hold back my judgment, but...
Why did it make you feel
like,
sick?
I mean, it hits... this is going to sound like I'm like giving an analysis of praise. It hits something quite primal in that, you know, she goes back to high school and sort of repeats the same mistakes at first, like speaking in front of the class, all the stuff that most people hate as a teenager. I think that's some of where the nausea came from. But her actual behaviour, like her movements, are so unnatural and not silly in like a fun way, but just it made me, I was cringe. You know, I coached
she
for the
cringy.
First sort of 10 minutes, but as soon as she gets to the high school, it's like watching, I don't know if you've ever had a friend or anything where they just say the wrong thing, or they go from 0 to 100 and you're just like, oh, you're so draining. I couldn't care about the main character because I hated them so much. I'm really sorry, I'm trying to hold back. So much that's like painfully awkward throughout. And a lot of it is just, it just seems like someone did a first draft and then didn't really try to do anything more, which, I don't know. And you know, there's bigger problems, I think, like, I couldn't really tell whether the purpose of the film was to point out that she's a romantic or she's just delusional, because I honestly think she was just delusional. You know, it's supposed to be a sweet moment where she says, "I'm just trying to find the right guy, and then I'll have my first kiss and I'll be in love forever."
Hmm.
That's my biggest problem with romantic comedies, is they're selling something that, you know, statistically there might be someone who meets their first love and then they're together forever. It's extremely rare, and I think my biggest problem with films like, not just this, but, you know, stuff like Love Actually, is they give very unrealistic expectations to people who watch them, and especially young people, which might be a good time to ask you if...
Can I just make a comment?
Sorry, go on. Yeah, yeah.
All film is unrealistic, and...
I disagree, but you can't say all film is unrealistic.
It is. None of it can be real life.
You think all film is unrealistic?
Yeah.
What about social realism? What about documentaries?
Well... yeah, maybe I'd take it back. But okay.
I know what you mean.
Okay, but... many films are unrealistic, and okay. I think you've got a certain beef against the romance stuff.
No, I disagree, because I think when something's done really well, like I can't believe I'm saying
this. No, I mean beef against the unrealistic romance stuff, because you're not going on and on about how superheroes don't exist, and you're not going on and on about how in this gangster film or whatever they don't treat each other like gangsters really would, like things like that. I don't know.
Well, yeah. Well, my counter argument would be that this is more of a combat this week. I'm enjoying it. No, because I would say I do love a good rom-com when it's done right. And When Harry Met Sally is a great example.
Because, I love that too.
You know, that doesn't do something unrealistic, but it is romantic in a Hollywood way. I would say you buy into those people because they don't necessarily like each other all the way through, and they have their ups and downs. Punch Drunk Love's another good example, where that's probably more magical and over the top, because it is unnatural that these people would maybe end up, but it's done really well. You still care. Anything, any John Cusack film from a long period of time, 16 Candles, that one that not enough people will talk about is Truth About Cats and Dogs, which is actually a really, really good film. My point is that, say, with my problem with superhero films, you're right, it isn't going to let, that doesn't exist. It's just, I don't think they're well made. But yeah, with the rom-com, like...
I'm fine with a film not being well made, because I still find it entertaining. It's totally subjective.
Well,
this.
That's...
I think you're arguing your points of things you don't like, and also mixing them into something that sounds a bit like fact when it's actually opinion.
Yeah, no, entertaining definitely is subjective, because visiting family, for instance, they'll put something on and be laughing at it, and I'll just be looking going, why do people find this funny? It's not.
I will give it to you, though. Like, Never Been Kissed, if I watch it for the first time now, I'd be like, eh. Like, I do, especially around Christmas, I'll watch the shitty Netflix films, and it does.
Yeah.
I'm a sentimentalist, and my mum's the same. We will sit down and watch utter shit just to watch a couple get together at the end. Like,
that's fair, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that is fine. I'm not saying you shouldn't, by the way. I mean, you've nailed it by saying it's all subjective, because... I don't think I've changed your mind in wanting to watch martial arts films with this film. And I didn't aim to, because entertainment is so subjective.
I tell you what, though, so like Never Been Kissed, I think the big entertainment from me comes from nostalgia and loving that story when I was little. But watching your film, even though I'd never watched it, there's something nostalgic about it. And that's why I say Sunday afternoon, rainy day film.
Yeah, yeah.
It feels like, I guess maybe because the sets were like, you could tell it was relatively low budget.
It's pretty shoddy.
But I loved that. That was a charm. Exactly.
Well, that's okay. So that might be worth talking about, because we talked about maybe doing an episode on bad films.
Which I thought was like not, it's not respectful to call. Some films are bad, but.
Like, oh, I'll disrespect a film. I don't care.
But no, I think it's like.
I was going
to. It's just not quite accurate to say. Bad film. I just can't get behind it. I don't know.
Yeah. And that's why we're not going to do that episode. Which
it's
is
so
why,
subjective.
I think it's worth talking about. Yeah, yeah. And we should talk about it in this, I think, because do you think a bad film, like a bad, you know, quote, film like Sharknado or The Room is entertaining too? Because they've had a huge resurgence over the past 10 years or so, I've been to, in Cardiff, Bad Film Club, where people get together and they put on a film like Troll 2 or Attack of the Lizard People or something that's objectively like the worst, and people like narrate, do like commentary during. Do you think there's entertainment value in that? Because I'm not sure how I feel about that, if I'm honest.
So I've seen it with my own eyes. Like in undergrad, if we were hungover, we used to just sit and watch very bad films for fun. But it was never my thing. I could see it really appealing to people and they were laughing their head off at this stuff. But I just, it feels like a waste of time.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
So for me...
Well, that's what bugs me. No. Sorry.
No, that's me. Go on.
Okay. Well, that's something that really bugs me in a way, is that there's kind of, since there's been bad film clubs and people, you know, cult following of a film like The Room, which is objectively one of the worst films, but there's a charm to it. There's been kind of a market for it now where people make films that they know are bad, like The Meg or Meg or whatever it's called, where it's about a huge shark, which we've never seen that before. But there's a market for it, and I find it really disheartening that someone could make a exploitation looking film with a bit of charm and make something intentionally kind of bad, and it will get more people watching it, and it will make more money than a film like, say, Baby Teeth that I watched last week, which is an Australian kind of a rom-com, but it gets pretty dark. That film is made with love, and it's really well acted, it's really well made, and less people will hear about or watch that than some crappy Sharknado 4 because they're cashing in on...
Because bad press is still press.
Yeah, I find that disheartening, but I don't know if you agree. Oh, it sounds like you agree just because you watched some bad films and thought it was a waste of time.
I don't bother going to the cinema for those things.
Okay, so you mentioned nostalgia is a big part of finding something entertaining like this. And I know a lot of people who watch Star Wars and Indiana Jones for the first time in their 20s or their 30s, and they never had the first experience when they were younger, which I think probably does make a difference. And that's why I'm not so. That's why I'm not judgmental of you liking this film. I'm judgmental of the film, but not you. Not you liking it, because I have similar things like, you know, I'm trying to think of a good example. I mean, well, I mentioned Jurassic Park, but I do think that actually stands up as a great film. But I do think the nostalgia element of certain films is why some people stand by them. I think probably a good example is Pulp Fiction, which I was talking to my friend Alex about this, that he stands by it, he thinks it's a great film. I rewatched it a few months ago because I wanted to recapture how I felt when I watched it when I was maybe like 13, 14, which was, I was really excited by it. I wanted to make films at that time, and watching that was like, oh great, I should try and make something like this. I watched it again and I hate it. I think it's a bad film, which is not what most people say, but I think it's the nostalgia element that people stick with that film, because most people watch it as sort of a teenage portion of their life. Do you think that's the biggest part of why you find it
maybe
comforting and entertaining still?
I don't think too much about it. I know the script off by heart. But like, with Pulp Fiction, I remember I watched it in my early 20s, of which I still am, I guess. But I was entertained. I wouldn't have gone away shit. But it wasn't for me.
Well, okay. I'm definitely not saying it's shit.
Okay.
But I am saying, if you want to compare it to all films ever made and to try and convince me it's one of the best ever made, it's not. Because this film's... Sorry, this has just become a tangent, but I'm going to finish it. Because in the same week, I rewatched Boogie Nights by a similarly aged filmmaker at the start of his career. That holds up visually. So the thing that bugs me is there's a lot of sequences that... And Tarantino does this a lot, where he's literally talking for the sake of it. It doesn't... For me, it doesn't add anything. And that's what people say they like, but it's just... There's a lot of dialogue that could be cut. There's a lot of shots that are really poorly shot. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. It hasn't held up. Whereas something like Boogie Nights, David Fincher films and stuff like that from the 90s, they have held up. I'm going to stop that rant there and we'll save that for another time.
I have a question. I don't think we've covered this. What is the purpose of entertainment, do you think?
I think entertainment's purely, and it's going to sound very cynical, purely to make money. You sell people the idea of a sugar rush.
They feel good for it. I mean going deeper than that. Like, how is it acting on us when we watch and we are entertained? Like, what is it for?
Oh, it's purely... I want to get into this anyway. I think it's bad for society in a way, because if you only engage with films or media or anything that's just to escape, you are not living your experience. You aren't engaging properly with thought in life, and you're ignoring certain things that do happen in the world.
We don't have to be switched on all the time, though. Isn't it good to escape sometimes?
I agree, and that's why I do watch martial arts films. But a key thing I wanted to bring up in this episode was, I think, unfortunately, people only go for entertainment because they've been sort of programmed to over the course of 20, 30 years, that if you're going to pay to watch a film, you want the sugar rush, you want the dopamine rush, you don't want to be thinking, you want to just escape. And I think that's kind of dangerous, because people are disengaged with feeling. And I do think the best films are the ones that make you think and feel something. It's obviously subjective, that that's just how I feel. But
yeah,
I agree. Dangerous that we just escape all the time.
I agree, consume with caution. But also, if you've had a bad day and you just want to go watch a couple who may or may not get together, and then at the end they do, why not?
I'm not saying
I know you're not. Yeah.
All entertainment, but I am against the idea that is pretty much all people go for when they watch a film, and it's incredibly disheartening. Mm. And it must be the same for musicians too, that if you make something with really rich emotions and something personal to say, and it's really well made, that it doesn't get as many hits of someone repeating the word work like 50 times with three chords. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It must be incredibly disheartening, because there's more to life than just escaping it, in my opinion.
There is.
I think on a broader scale, it's why we have leaders like Trump, for instance. We're so obsessed with entertainment these days that someone from a reality TV show is in the White House. It's still insane. That's why sensationalism is everywhere, and it's why... Yeah, I don't know. I think as a culture, it's an incredibly barren time. there's more access to certain things, but most people don't have the... This is a huge rant, but I'm going to carry on. People don't use their energy to actually explore things. They just take what they're handed, and it's usually just empty, and it's usually just for money. I'm going to stop there.
After that huge, depressing rant, I need to go watch an empty rom-com. That's what it does. Well, I think it's a cure for the world sometimes. But yes, I agree. Consume with caution.
It's not a cure. It's definitely not a cure.
It can be.
For me, anyway, it makes... I disagree.
Stop stating opinion as fact. It can be for people.
Disagreeing is opinion. I know it can be for people, but I think... I don't think it's a cure. I don't think it helps anyone. And this is something I wanted to ask before we finish. Going back to how unrealistic most of these films are, and... You know, there's some weird elements in Never Been Kissed. This is something that definitely ties in with entertainment and how we relate to the world and everything. Do you think watching a film like this gave you or made you have unrealistic expectations of romance and life?
No, I think the whole world did. And these films are just maybe a little part of that. But I think I watched films knowing that it wasn't real life.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's good. I mean, you're intelligent, so I assume that you weren't just going to go, oh, this is exactly what life is. But my worry is that I think most people do watch, say a generic action film where the military come in and save the day. They do just go, everyone wanted a gun and camouflage is good. It's not that simple. Nothing's that simple.
Yeah, simplifying is dangerous, I agree. And a lot of entertainment is very simple. Yeah.
Yeah, it's never subtle. And my choice too is not subtle. I'm not saying it's a good film, which is kind of...
But go watch it if you want a bit of a laugh and to get some satisfaction at the end, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for listening to The Talkies. This week's episode was entertainment. Let us know what you think. We'd love to hear from you. And remember to tune in for next week's episode.